good when it comes to overcoming all the problems that we might indeed face. I think it's in your bulletin where it says, the future is not known to us, but God has promised to be with us, to guide us on the path toward the future He has prepared for us in Jesus Christ. And whether she was fully aware of all the intricacies of what was coming up, we have a story found in Ruth chapter 1. It's the story of Naomi and her family, but the book is entitled Ruth. And I'm going to read through the story and then we'll begin with the message. In the days when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land. And a man of Bethlehem in Judah went to sojourn in the country of Moab. And he and his wife and his two sons, the name of the man was Elimelech, and his wife's name was Naomi. The names of the two sons were Mahlon and Chilion. They were Ephrathites from Babylon, from Bethlehem in Judah. They went into the country of Moab to remain there. But Elimelech, the husband of Naomi, died, and she was left with two sons. Well, these two took Moabite wives. The name of one was Orpah. The name of the other was Ruth. And they lived there about 10 years. And both Mahlon and Chilion died also. Wow. So that the woman was left without her two sons and without her husband. That sets the stage for the rest of the story. Then she arose with her daughters-in-law to return from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the fields of Moab that the Lord had visited his people and given them food. So she set out from the place where she was with her two daughters-in-law, and they went on the way to return to the land of Judah. But Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, "Go return, each of you, to her mother's house. May the Lord deal kindly with you as you have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant that you may find rest, each of you in the house of her husband." Then she kissed them. And they lifted up their voices and wept. And they said to her, "No, we will return with you to your people." But Naomi said, "Turn back, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Have I yet sons in my womb that they may become your husbands?" That was the typical way things would happen. A brother would take on the responsibility and marry his brother's wife if his brother passed away. "If I should say I have hope, even if I should have a husband this night and should bear sons, would you therefore wait till they were grown? Would you therefore refrain from marrying? No, my daughters, for it is exceedingly bitter to me for your sake that the hand of the Lord has gone out against me." Then they lifted up their voices and wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, like, goodbye. And Ruth clung to her, And she said, "See, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her gods. Return after your sister-in-law." But Ruth said, "Do not urge me to leave you or to return from following you, for where you go, I will go. Where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord do so to me, and more so also, if anything but death parts me from you." Well, and when Naomi saw that she was determined to go with her, she said no more. So the two of them went on until they came to Bethlehem. And when they came to Bethlehem, the whole town was stirred because of them. God's grace to you, His divine love, His mercy, what He holds back, that which we deserve, and His peace. We talked about some of that and experienced that already. And it all comes to us from God through Jesus. And we just praise Him for that. Would you pray with me? Father God, open our hearts to hear what You have for us. You've prepared in advance for us to hear. We thank You for that. And we ask that the words of my mouth, the meditation of all of our hearts, would indeed be acceptable to You. You are our rock. You are our Redeemer. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so I'm going to tell you something that you do every single day of your life. Each and every one of you does this, and in many different ways. And we all do. We put our hope, our trust, our possessions, yes, even our fate, in the hands of complete strangers. You do this. You trust when you don't even realize you're doing it. When you visit a doctor or a dentist for the first time, you are putting your life in their hands. You allow a strange man or woman to put sharp things into your mouth. I mean, you're trusting them. And you do this. We do this when we make arrangements. You make arrangements like you might make reservations at a hotel. You're trusting that hotel room's going to be there. Everything's going to work out just fine. When you get there, they're going to allow you to actually stay at that place. You trust them. When you travel by planes, trains, or automobiles, you do the same thing. You trust that plane's going to take off and land safely. And perhaps along the way, you might even get a snack. You believe this. You go on vacation. Now, you did that this morning when you came into this room. I mean, I didn't see anybody walk over to one of their chairs and go, okay, it's going to hold me up. You just sat down. Now, there is some past experience. You said, all right, that's the chair I always sit in, and I know it's strong. Okay, there's some of that, but no. We do this. We put our faith and our trust in things, hoping that they're going to take and follow through. And that's exactly what we have. We have two stories today. And these aren't just stories. They're actual events that took place in history of the world, and we have them recorded in the Bible. The first one is the story of Naomi, commonly known as Ruth. We have Naomi, and there was something going on in Bethlehem. Now, I find this pretty ironic because Bethlehem is the house of bread, and there was a famine. They want a lot of bread in Bethlehem. But in the land of Moab, there was. And so they decided that they were going to travel, Naomi, to Moab. Now, Moab is not a very nice place. Moab was known for pagan worship. It was known as a wild place. And part of their worship was child sacrifice. But the rain was falling, the ground was producing, and they left to go to this place. Now, we know that Elimelech and Naomi had two sons, Mahalan and Chilion, and so there they were, and they took wives. Now, this was one of those societies that wasn't listed, by the way, as one of, I believe it's the seven countries that they weren't supposed to intermarry to. So some people say, hey, they're intermarrying. No, in this case, it was okay to take a wife here, and they did, Ruth and Orpah. My point is, now they traveled here and they're starting a life there. They're expecting that it's all going to work out and they're going to try to do the best they can. And then, of course, fate happens. Elimelech dies. My stepdad dies. My father dies. My husband dies. What are we going to do now? And Naomi had to think to herself, at least I have my two sons. Because in this world, in this place, it was much more difficult for women to make their way in the world than it would be for a man. And that's just the way it was. Thank God I have my two sons. And then what happened? You know it. The sons die. Nasty. Loss. Absence of life. Struggle. Great loss. What do you do next? Well, they decide that she's going to return back home. She's going to go back home. That's what she's going to do. And she tells her Moabite daughters, "This, you need to go ahead and just go back to your own home. You have friends. You might have extended family. You might have a chance to find another husband. Please go back home. May the Lord deal kindly with you." And I just want to take a step out to say that word kindly is a pretty fantastic word. The Hebrew word is chesed, H-E-S-E-D with a ch, because they're Hebrew, right? Chesed. May the steadfast love endures forever. That's the chesed. She was saying, may the Lord chesed you and bless you, because she believed in the Lord. As the story goes on, Orpah decided to go back. And who knows? Maybe as Orpah went back to the Moabite home and the Moabite nation, she brought with them this idea of Yahweh. Maybe she brought with it the hope of everlasting life that the God of creation, who knows what happened to her. But Ruth wouldn't leave. She stuck with Naomi. And she, of course, said those things. And Naomi, you know, she was feeling very bitter. But things happen in our lives. It's rough. It's tough. Naomi, the word means sweet, pleasant. I remember in the scripture, it goes on to say, please don't call me that anymore. Call me Mara or Moriah. It means bitter and suffering because the Lord has dealt so harshly with me. I think she's Naomi. So what happens? This is what goes on. They go back and Ruth holds tenaciously. But why? Why is she holding on so tenaciously? Did she know what was going to happen? Did she trust that God was going to provide for them? Perhaps, but she really didn't know. They ended up getting into fields in which everything was taken, and everything that fell aside off the cart or wasn't really harvested, they were going to glean the fields. They were the beggars. They were the poor people. One author once said, they were the dumpster divers of their day. They were just that down and out. Now, God blesses them, but that's part two of the story. You're going to have to read that for yourself. The second story is the story of the 10 lepers. In hope, they cry out, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. What did they think? Clothe us, feed us, have mercy on us. Did they think they were going to be healed? They were putting themselves into this strange person they probably never met before to somehow have mercy on them. They were dealing with life as it was dealt them. The life that was dealt them now with that sickness would result in alienation. Maybe their family would visit them, and only from far off. Certainly society would have considered them cast outs. They weren't allowed to even go through the entrance of the city. That was as Jesus approached the entrance, there they were. The second thing we know about leprosy during this time is that it almost always, if I've never heard of an exception outside of healing, resulted in death. Sometimes a slow, flesh falling off your bone, literally death. This was ugly. This was a trial that was put upon them, and now they had that. Jesus, Master, have mercy on them. He tells them to go show themselves to the priest. Only the priest could declare someone clean, but what were they thinking? They decided to walk away, and then they were cleansed on the way. And what a blessing it was to be able to see someone respond and realize who it was that blessed them, who it was that healed them. Now, you and I go through trials, maybe not like Ruth and Orpah or Naomi, where they had to go through the loss of life of their father and their husbands. Maybe that hasn't happened to you. Maybe it has. Maybe you've been sick with a disease and you've kind of related to some of these things. But then there's also some of you sitting there going, well, I have other issues. I have other problems in my life, and they're heavy upon my heart. A pastor once spoke to a very large congregation. And what he did was pretty amazing. He decided, as he was speaking about trials and difficulties that people had, he brought them to the point that they were going to start to remember some of them, or at least recall what's going on in their life. And so he placed in the aisles, and I haven't done that here, he placed in the aisles a paper bag, a 3x5 card, and a pencil. And what they were encouraged to do, instructed to do during his sermon, was to write down their deepest, hardest difficulties, their trials, what they were going through, maybe even how things are unfinished. And they wrote them all down. And they were to place them inside the bag and fold the bag. He continued to talk and speak about trials and difficulties in life. And then what he did was pretty miraculous, well, not miraculous. It was just pretty inspired, I think. He said, I want you now to pass it to your right and continue that bag until it reaches someone that you really don't know. And so they did that. They passed it along. He spoke some more. And he went on to talk about how we need to take heart that God's with us. That sometimes during these travesties, these trials, these temptations, these difficulties, you know, we're struggling under there and we just don't know where to turn. We know we're supposed to turn to God, but we don't know how we're going to get through it. And then he said, I want you to open the bag now and I want you to read this. And so they opened it and they read it. And somehow he brought the continued story around. He says, now, I'm going to give you a choice. If you could keep the trials of the card or take yours back. Keep the trials of the card and take yours back. And without exception, they took theirs back. I mean, it kind of was a double whammy here. One, God has really blessed us with the ability to turn to Him. But God has also conditioned us and made us that we will be able to turn to Him and deal with certain things. Whereas one person is a caregiver to her husband because her husband's falling short. And maybe he's going through dementia or difficulties. Or you could turn that around. And another person may be going through something like cancer, and they're going, man, I'll take the cancer. I could never do that. Through it all, God is trying to convince us and talk to us and say, I am with you always. Take heart, I have overcome the world. In a study that we're talking about, we're not to be anxious for anything, but in everything give thanks and praise to God. To rejoice in the Lord always. Max Lucado tells a story of a young girl, probably preschool, kindergarten, and she's now at the bottom of the steps, and the bus is coming. She's getting ready for school, and she's looking down, and her shoes, the shoelaces are in her knot. And she's struggling with those, and her hands are struggling with those, and she just can't undo the knot, and the bus is coming. And she's getting more and more nervous. Now, Dad is watching this whole thing. And finally, she just breaks down and she sobs and she sobs and she sobs. But Dad was right there. The Lord is right there near you and me, and He's there to help. And sometimes when we go through these struggles, these difficulties, these moments of leprosy, these moments of loss, these moments of whatever it is, we sit down and we focus on our knots. Instead of realizing that the Lord is right there. It's an amazing, wonderful story. Ruth did not hesitate to want to go with Naomi. The lepers did not hesitate to call out to Jesus, their master. Peace Lutheran Church has its challenges. We've got challenges that are coming. We've been through a revitalization process. They're giving us 5 prescriptions, and those are not going to be easily accomplished, but we can do them together when we realize that we don't need to focus on our knots. We need to focus on Jesus being there, and He will help and guide us through it. We put our trust and our hopes and our possessions and even our faith not in a complete stranger, but in God, in Jesus. If we can let people put sharp instruments into our mouths that we don't even know, don't you think we can trust a loving Lord God to take us through whatever it is that's coming our way? To be focused on Him instead of the difficulties. Now, I don't want to minimize the difficulties, but at the same time, I want to say, when you compare them to God, how big are they? I've said it before, I'll say it again till you start saying it. When David saw Goliath, he didn't say, my goodness, how big you are. He said, you know how big my God is. And that's what we need to do, and yours truly needs to do when these difficulties, these trials, and these challenges come our way. Right out of the beginning of the bulletin, as Christians, we need to take heart and know that the Lord knows our needs, and He's not going to abandon you in your hour of need. The goal remains the same. Keep your eyes focused on Jesus. Trust in His grace. It's sufficient for everything. After all, God loves you so much, He didn't even hold back His Son. He gave Him willingly so that you would be His forever. That story of the footprints, yeah, we don't always see God's footprints, but we know they're there. We know He's there. Sometimes we look back and we realize it was God walking with us all the way, and as the story goes, sometimes carrying us. Ruth illustrates it. Paul talks about it. And even Jesus exemplified it when He said, you know, you come to me, I'm going to provide what you need. It may be the answer you're hoping for. And if it's not, it's the answer you need. So we're going to pray to the Lord. We're going to say, Lord, with a grateful heart, we come before you. We rejoice in your favor. We rejoice in your grace. We rejoice in your mercy. And I don't want to ever forget your benefits. I don't want to ever forget your chesed. Your steadfast love, which endures forever. And to him, all glory, honor, and praise. In Jesus' name, amen.